have something I'd like to share with you today. Thinking of a verse in Isaiah 22 and 11. It says, "Watchman, what of the night?" And when I've heard that question before, we think about, well, the minister needs to be telling me what's the signs of the times that we're living in. Yes. Tell me what's going on and what does the future hold. But when I look at that today, I don't think it needs to be just the minister that can tell us what the signs of the times are. Our country is in trouble today. And I was thinking of a song. I haven't heard it for a long time, but it used to be sung maybe back in the 70s. It says, "Redemption draweth nigh." It says, "Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told that Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today." Then another verse was, "Wars and strife on every hand and violence fills the land. Still some people doubt he'll ever come again. But the word of God is true. He'll redeem his chosen few. Don't lose hope, for soon Christ Jesus will descend." It says signs of the time are everywhere. It doesn't take a minister to be the only one to figure out signs of the time are everywhere. It says there's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh. Back in the 70s, we were thinking, and I remember ministers preaching at meetings, camp meetings, saying it feels like it's just right around the corner. We don't know if another year will come. Well, 25 or 30 years has passed since then, and he hasn't come. But that doesn't change at all that he's still coming. He will come. So I'd like for us today to think about this. There have been men's hearts. Remember the verse that says men's hearts failing them for fear of the things that come on the earth. Well, I look at things today when we feel like that in America we have everything under control and how quickly we can become terrified of something. Until just a few weeks ago, I'd never heard the word Ebola. Yes. And then all of a sudden, just that one word strikes fear in Americans' hearts. When we thought to have a national health care system, all troubles are over. No, now we realize things can come in from other countries that we've never had before, troubles to us. Where we used to think, okay, if there's a country against us, we can go across the sea and fight them. And now we start hearing about terrorists that are already infiltrated into America. And those things can bring fears. They're just signs of the time that we're living in. And I was thinking, you know, over the last 2 or 3 years, here in Oklahoma City, on the lawn of the court of the Capitol building, they had put up a monument that had the Ten Commandments on it. Yes. And there has been a lot of struggle over the last couple of years saying, people saying, we want that removed. We do not want that to be there. And it makes me think of the verse that says there was a countryman that went away and said while he was gone, his citizens sent a report to him, "We will not have this man to reign over us." That's really what we're telling God when we say, the Ten Commandments are offensive to me. I want them gone. Well, they weren't taken down. So then you may remember just a few months ago, others came in and said, okay, you leave that one. And now we will put up a monument that, because we serve Satan, we will have a Satan monument put up right beside it. And they were working to be able to do that. Well, you may have heard just this last week, somebody took care of the whole thing. They drove across the lawn with a vehicle and ran over the Ten Commandments and crushed it. But you know, that don't stop anything. I think about that verse in Romans 3. What if some don't believe? When they tore that thing up, did they make a difference? That law is still in effect today, just like it was when it stood up there in stone. What if some don't believe? Does that make the faith of God of none effect? God forbid. It says, let God be true, and let every man be a liar. In the time that we're living in and the signs of the times that we're living in, for us to be able to hold steady is going to be real important.
Yes, amen.
So I was looking about another thing that has happened in the last few years. We have started hearing this phrase, coming out of the closet.
Yes.
And what it means is sins, wickedness that used to be never mentioned and kept quiet about, now is being exposed and given as this is a lifestyle that is okay. It started out with a gay lifestyle, gay marriage. That thing was, a few years ago, people that were involved in that would never say a word about it. They would keep it hidden. Times have changed. Watchmen, what are the night? What's the time that we're living in today?
Yes.
Now it's out in the front, and it's being said, you're going to accept it, or trouble will come from it. And then on top of that, just a few weeks ago, I heard a news article come from New Orleans of another group that used to be, the wickedness used to be hidden, would not even be talked about. And now they had a parade down there of people that were saying, we're the swingers. It's been hidden in the past because it was such wickedness that it would not even be talked about. But now it is exposed. They say these husbands and wives are all parading down the street because we want to be recognized also. This is a good lifestyle that we come together on the weekends and we swap husband and wife with a big group.
Yes.
We're living in some wicked times. And there will be some trouble come from it. That's 2014. But I've been thinking about something, a verse. What does all that have to do with the Christian? We're right here with it all around us. Jesus said in his prayer, I'm not praying that you would take them out of the world. That's not my plan. Is that, okay, this thing's about wicked enough now, we all need to go to Monarch and close that gate and put a padlock on it so sin can't come inside. No. He said, I didn't intend that. But I tell you what I intended, what my purpose was, is that you'd keep them from the evil.
Yeah.
And that's what it is for us today. And that's what I'd like to talk about for a little bit. Because there's a verse in Luke 18 and 8. It says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth.
Yeah.
And I've thought about that word faith. What does that mean to you? What is the definition that you would give of faith? Here is the one that I have felt like was my definition for years. It's my ability to believe that God will give me the things that I'm asking him for. That's faith, is to believe that when I tell him I want this, that he will give it to me. But I've come to realize it is so much deeper than that. Here is another definition. It's the human response to God revealing himself by his word and his actions. More than just me believing, okay, faith is, I'm sick, I want to be well. Faith will cause me to be well. I don't have a job, I need a job. Faith will cause, and you know, we find that we pray for positive things always.
Yes.
Have I ever prayed, Lord, I would like for you to make me sick. I think that's really going to help me out. My prayers have always been, my belief has always been, Lord, I've got a problem, and faith is going to clear that up. When faith goes so much deeper, it is just simply me believing God and his word. Just like it said, faith is there. And I was thinking about Pilgrim's Progress. Have you read the story lately? I was thinking about from the very beginning of it. It says he believed the report. It took faith for him to believe that he lived in the city of destruction. And that should he stay there, he's going to be lost. And to the point that when those around him said, no, you don't need to worry about that. Where did you hear that anyhow? He decided, I'm going to make a change in my life. And he put his fingers in his ears and he started running toward the celestial city, crying, life, life, eternal life. And throughout his life, did he have some times where he fell? Yes, he did. Times that maybe he turned off on the wrong path? Yes, he did. But always he had a purpose in mind. I want to make it to the celestial city. All of that was because of faith. There was a time where the road that he had to travel took him through the Vanity Fair. All the sights and the sounds and the smells and the noise around him to draw his attention to stay there for a while. It took some great purpose for him to say, you know what, I've got to come through here. But I'm not stopping. I'm not stopping at a real estate office and saying, do you have a place that I could rent for a few months? I'd like to stay around here. I like this place. No, he had his eyes on a goal out ahead of him. And it reminds me of a place in the 11th chapter of Hebrews where it says, there were some that confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They're just passing through. They're seeking another city. And God is not ashamed to be called their God. So I thought about that. Where does faith start? You know, we read about faith in Hebrews 11, and I'd like to go to that for a little bit. In the 11th chapter, and in the 6th verse, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yes.
It cannot be done. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Faith tells me that God, there is a God, and he's going to reward me one day for my actions. Faith will also tell me there is a God, and should I choose not to serve him, he's going to also reward me for that also. And I was looking at, you know, today there's a great press against the creation theory, against that God said it and it was done, that he spoke it into existence. People want to believe almost anything else, any other kind of theory but that one, because that puts a supreme God out there that's over us all. But I was looking at this one in the 3rd verse. How do I know that he did it? It's faith that does it. Through faith, 3rd verse of the 11th chapter, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. That's all I need. When I take a look at the 1st chapter of Genesis, and it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, through faith we understand it, just like it was. When he said in the verse that on this day he spoke and the sun and the moon were put in place, separated the day from the night, that's all I need. I don't need a scientific explanation. How could that have happened? You can't explain it, because God spoke and it was done. And for me to be able to just have faith to believe that. I was thinking of the little saying that said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it.
Yes.
For us to have, when the Son of Man returns, will he find that kind of faith? Something much deeper than just, I'm sick and I want to be well. But just, I believe God. I believe his word. No matter how it changes, no matter how the polls are taken that don't believe in God anymore, that I still calmly rest on that. In Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6 is a secret for us to be able to have that faith when he comes again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That verse goes so much deeper than just the way I have read it in the past. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, realizing that with my whole heart, I realize that God's involved in it. Lean not to thine own understanding. If I tried to figure out about creation, my understanding of how it could be, I would be mixed up just like the world around me. But by faith, I can understand this was done. So it's important for me to acknowledge God throughout my life. I was singing in the 7th verse of the 11th chapter. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Think about that, and we have heard that story all through our lives of God coming to Noah and saying, I'm going to destroy this with a flood. And a flood's coming, and I want you to build a boat for the protection. And I was looking at sizes, and it's somewhere around 450 foot long, 75 foot wide, 45 foot high is what God tells him to build it. And he says, on top of that, I want you to use only one kind of wood. Use only gopher wood. Now, he starts out on that building project, and he has neighbors that have to be looking on. This isn't a project that'll be done in a week or 2 weeks. He worked on it for over 100 years. And God has given him instruction. This is the length. It would have been so easy for him to say, I don't see why it needs to be this wide or this high. Look at the scaffolding I'm going to have to build to take it this high. After so many years of using trees of one kind, no doubt right around there, there weren't so many to be had. And there were other, in my mind, there were probably other trees there close by. But he's going to have to travel a distance now to obey God. But he keeps on doing it. And why was it important? Because one day it's going to be tested.
That's right.
It's going to see whether it floats or whether it doesn't. And it won't be because Noah was able to make it tight enough to float. It was about whether or not he obeyed God's word. When he built it exactly like the pattern said, God took care of whether it floated or not. And that is the closest example I can think of my life today. We are told by God, there's something coming out ahead. I'm going to go out into eternity one day. Dan, start building on your life. And this word of God that I need to have faith in is the instruction, the pattern for me to be able to build it by. And I'm going to get all these voices from outside saying, you don't have to build it that way.
Yes.
It's not required for you to be able to build it the 75 foot wide. There's a lot of people building boats 50 foot wide and they'll work when the rain comes. It's the same thing. No, God's the one that gave the instruction. And for me to be able to have my boat to float on the day that I need it, my life to be accepted when I am fitting to step out into eternity, I've got to build it according to the pattern. And there I have to have faith to believe it, just like Noah did, continuing to get up every day, going out there farther and farther from home and bringing home another gopher tree because God said, use only this wood. And for me to be able to build my life the same way, I want it to be accepted. There is in 2 Peter, in the third chapter, when we start thinking about eternity, this one is the chapter that we look at. It says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This is the final of the instruction that is given to us. To build our life carefully because there's coming a day when it's all everything around me will be destroyed. And then the 11th verse gives me some final instruction. It says, seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? How careful should I live my life? Knowing that the day's coming, that it's coming to an end, and eternity will be out ahead. And I cannot comprehend what eternity will be, the length of it. To me, a year is a long time. When I was a child, from birthday to birthday was a long time before it came around again. When we hear now at my age and we hear about retirement out ahead, oh, that's just a long ways away. But folks, how fast the years have come and gone. Should a person live 80 years and it seems like to a young person, it seems like, oh, that is a long time. That is nothing compared to eternity. And when I have looked at the stories that we read, and by faith, we've got to understand that they were true. When I read about the rich man and Lazarus, by faith, I understand that that was a real person. He didn't say the kingdom of heaven is like unto these two men. Instead, he said there was a certain rich man. There was a man named Lazarus. And it says, in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torments. That was over 2,000 years ago. By faith, I understand that when I step out into eternity, it will be forever. It will never be able to be changed. I cannot comprehend that. I'm able to make decisions that can be changed. I have made bad decisions on buying a house before. I have made bad decisions about where I moved before, and it cost me. But you know what? I can move to another place, get me another job, and I can work my way back out of it again. I can buy a car that proves to be a lemon. But you know what? I can get rid of that thing and I lose a lot of money, but I can start working again and I can make adjustments for that. This one, there'll be no adjustments. If we could just say, okay, but I've got a second chance. If I don't do it right, I understand there's a second chance. But by faith, we have to understand I get one chance at this one. Noah only got one chance. Should he have built it short of what the instructions were when the rain came, and the water comes up and it just fills it up and he's destroyed with the rest of them. There was no second chance for him to go back and do it again. He had it for the first time. So for my part, it's obedience. For God's part, he gives us promises. If you will follow this way, he did it to Solomon. He told him, if you will follow me, there will be a kingdom of your people forever. It will just continue on. But if you don't, there will be things that happen. Well, that deals with the end of my life. But what about faith for all the days that are in between, these days that I'm living now? I was thinking about Paul, all the things that happened to him, the stonings, the shipwreck, the beatings, all those things, and yet he was able to say in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God. That's because faith came into action, and he started realizing there's something more important than the things that are happening to him today. And then another verse that he was talking about in 2 Corinthians 4:17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And he had afflictions that went for years and years, and yet he chose, I'm not going to give up, because there's something more important out just ahead. And then I think of the end of his life of faith, the testimony that he had in 2 Timothy 4:6, where he said, I'm now ready to be offered. He said, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course.
Yes.
Henceforth, there's a crown laid up for me. And not for me only, but to all those that come after Paul that love his appearing. That takes us in today for each one of us by faith, if we'll understand that the Word of God was given to me for direction in my life, and I build from that every day. There's a verse of song number 300. It says, I am drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide. I have tasted life's pure river, and my soul is satisfied. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. For I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. And that song can only be because I have faith to believe there's something on out ahead that is much more important than the things around me. There's a verse that talks about building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Is it possible for me to build faith? It is possible. I was thinking about the children of Israel, and this is in 1 Samuel 7:12. They needed help from the Lord. They needed deliverance from the Philistines, had a great army that was coming against them. They needed help from the Lord. And it says the Lord gave them that help. And how the Lord did it, it said he thundered a great thunder. And it caused that great army to go away, and for the Israelites to be able to win the battle. And then Samuel said, let's take a stone and let's call it an Ebenezer stone, because what we're going to do when we look at it is, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Something that is a reminder, the Lord has helped me in the past, and now I'm up against a battle again, and I look at that and I'm reminded he'll help me again. I was reminded of the story that Sister Margaret Eck wrote. Probably intended it mostly for her children, but she went back through her life and was reminding them of the things that the Lord had done, and she titled it, Lest We Forget. So that we don't forget, let's write out the things that God has done for us. I was thinking about Sister Wright and the things that God has done in the last year. And it would be good to have that written down, because you know what? We can go about 3 or 4 years and the Lord send another battle our way, and all we see is the battle. We don't see what the Lord has done for us in the past. I was thinking when Joshua, when they crossed over the Jordan River, and he said, I tell you what, let's take 12 stones and let's put them on the other side of the river, to where it'll be a monument. Anytime the children say, what are these stones piled up here for? That you'll remind them, one day God stopped the Jordan River. One day he dried it up. And this is a reminder for each of us, even the young families, to be able to remember there's been times when God has helped us. And we remember those things, because there will be times that come in the future that the devil would like to have us say, this is a new one. I don't know if God can help us or not. But to be able to go back and say, he's helped me in the past. And I was thinking how important it is, the verse that says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together.
Yeah.
And why is that? Because when we come together, and I think about especially on prayer meeting night, when each of us come together and we tell, here's what the Lord has done for me this week.
Yeah.
That we would each one use that as a stone in our life through the next week when trouble comes our way, is to be able to look back and say, you know what, the Lord helped them, and I believe he will help me also.
Amen.
But just like we can build up faith, you know what, if we're not careful, my lack of faith can be a hindrance to others. I was thinking about when the 12 spies went into Canaan, and they walked around, and every one of them had the same report of what was there as far as the great things that God said they could have. When they came back carrying the grapes, and it took two men to be able to carry that cluster of them, they said, it's just like he said, it is a land that flows with milk and honey. And all 12 of them were agreed. But 10 of them said, but there's one more thing here. There are some giants in the land, and there's no way we can go into it and take care of it. And, you know, we can read those as children, and that's a neat little story. But I want to tell you, right today, we can have the same thing happen where we say, it does, the Bible tells me I can have a victorious life, but there's some giants in the land, and I don't think I can do it. By faith, we understand that we can do it. And I thought about those when Joshua and Caleb, two men, stand up and say, I tell you what, if the Lord helps us, those giants will not hurt us at all. We'll be able to go on in the land. But it caused, those ten caused all the multitude to receive a bad testimony. And then they all said, there's no way we can do it. For us today, I want to be real careful. Because you know what? My children are watching. Others are watching. If I lack faith to where I don't believe God can do something, it's going to affect theirs. Joshua and Caleb both told them, said, we're well able if the Lord will help us. And I think about for all of us today, when trials come our way, there's going to be more than we can take care of on our own. We should always realize what Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I want to always have that forefront in my mind. But I also want to say, you know what? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. If Christ will help me out in this problem that I'm faced with, everything will be all right. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, when those three Hebrew children, they did not see which way it was going to go. They did not know when they stood before the king if they would come out of the fiery furnace or if they would be burned up in it. But they had a commitment. Our God is able to deliver us. He will deliver us out of your hand one way or another. You know, we can look at that with sicknesses that come into our lives. Times when I want to be well, but I tell you what, there's going to be victory either way. I was singing that song I heard of, I guess it was the first time I heard it, when Sister Karen LaCroix was dying. And Clinton told me about that song. You know, she wanted to live.
Yes.
Her desire was to live. She loved her grandchildren. She wanted to be with them. But that song said, I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. It's going to be real important for all of us to come to that place where if I see what the prize is that waits for me on the other side, and it's for eternity, that I would be able to hold fast in the times where trouble comes my way. There is, you know, when Jesus said his prayer, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but I'm praying that you'd keep them from the evil. I was singing of this verse of song, Thy way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me, and safe to glory will bring my soul. That is the end of faith in God. And it's the verse again, I want to be reminded of it. When the Son of Man cometh, is he going to find faith on the earth? And the important part is not how many will it be in others, how much will it be in others, but will he be able to find faith in me? Just a confidence that the Word of God is still true today. It will be tomorrow, no matter how far the world may go from it, because I want him to find faith in me when he comes again. I desire your prayer.